Yo, anyone else experiencing a P wave?
Yeah, I'm lying on my back on stage waiting for the P wave.
Mm, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, look, when I go see a gimmicky Rage Against the Machine cover band, what I want, as I expect as a paying customer, for them to do some GG Allin stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can't go to like an electro swing concert. You can't go to like a 30s jazz cover concert without getting like blood and piss and shit all over you. And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
It was so cool when Weird Al took a shit on stage.
Awesome. Weird Al's shit on my chest.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, like, you know.
That was his cover of Simply the Best by Tina Turner.
Oh, very good.
What really sucks is, like, this was a cool thing that happened. Like, this band Brass Against, which, as you say, is a soy brass band that covers Rage Against the Machine, their lead singer... it just pissed on a guy just on stage.
And he loved it.
Yeah, he was so into it. I think he spit it back into the crowd, which again, more GG Allin shit. But like, she did that, and then the band did a bunch of tweets from their official account where they were like, "This is not who we are."
Snakes.
Yeah, snakes. Absolutely. But the funniest thing was that the way they described their lead singer pissing on a guy on stage was Sophia got carried away.
Yeah, she got.
It's easily done, isn't it?
I love this. Like, just like tuning.
Well,
the
now
French
I'm not coming
horn.
Into the first two rows of your next show, Myla.
Be you at a concert, be you at, you know, a funeral. It's you know, the boundaries, they're hard to know precisely where they are. It's shades of gray, isn't
like,
it?
It's almost like, it's like, again, like Bez in the Happy Mondays, just like throwing his armpit sweat on the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Just bizarre.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
if she'd have been using maracas while she was
you're
doing
listening,
that really
you're listening to like, you know, a band that does like covers of 40s music do Vera Lynn, but there's a big sign that says the first three rows will get wet. And you're just like,
we'll pee again.
So we're talking now about a scatological cover band that also pees on you.
Scatman John, brackets the other kind.
God, I mean, honestly, it's better than the NFT band.
I forgot about this. Yeah Universal.
What, Gorillaz?
Basically.
Yes, they made it out of four Bored Apes. They redid Gorillaz as NFTs.
Oh, man.
Remember, the worst thing Universal does is its involvement in Spotify. As annoying as this is.
Although it was funny because, as ever, not to be like I am the person who reads the replies to these things, but I read the replies to Universal's tweet, and there were a lot of NFT people going, oh, hey, my NFT should be in this. My NFT is like a roadie or whatever. And it's just that's a fursona. You are furries now. That's not, you're not doing crypto even.
What they are is they're not furries, they're stage moms.
Oh,
blockchain fursona.
Yeah, taking NFT to the fucking audition, and it's really nervous, but I'm like, no, come on, need this fucking job.
No, you look cuter. You look cuter, ape making the pussy-eating gesture. Also,
the
like,
I genuinely...
Milo not knowing what a stage mom is like a whole new horizon is going to open to you there.
Stage moms are the kind of groupies that I'm after.
I guess what you want, like a really overbearing, neurotic mother who never made it as an actor and so projects her dreams onto her kids.
I basically met that woman last night. I was at the birthday party of someone who may or may not have been in the hit show Years and Years. And there may or may not have been other cast members from the hit show Years and Years there.
It was Rory Kinnear's party, of course.
That's right, yeah. It was a big concave ass party. And
it was Muriel. The actress who plays Muriel. It was her 80th.
In the smoking area, this woman who, like, you know, like, she was quite pretty. Like, she was probably in her, like, late 40s, early 50s. But you know, like, when, like, slightly older women are, like, kind of too in shape and they get a bit scully?
Yeah, that's the thing I'm trying to achieve in my older years.
Yeah, so she was, like, kind of simultaneously sort of hot, but also sort of looked like the subject of Edvard Munch's The Scream and was doing this weird, like, lovey thing where she was sort of trying to flirt with me, but also, like, neg me at the same time, and then was, like, refusing to tell me what she did for a living other than that she worked in theater, and then claimed to have met one of her friends by dogging. And I'm like, okay.
God, it's so fucking British.
It was at this point that an extremely famous British artist decided that she wanted to come up and talk to my girlfriend. But the entire time did this with, like, an incredibly, like, stony-faced and angry-looking expression. And then I whispered in my girlfriend's ear, I think it would be really funny if I went up to her and went, oh my God, are you Banksy? And she was like, you cannot do that. That's not funny.
Okay, and that's where your girlfriend is wrong.
Yeah, that would be very funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a beautiful series of blind items there.
Yeah. It would also be very annoying for her professionally, but very funny to do.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But no, I think this NFT band. I think
this ejected from Rory Kinnear's birthday party for asking him if he's Banksy.
That's right. Rory Kinnear hates Banksy.
Did you paint this with your giant flat ass?
He's like, the apes being in charge isn't funny. Okay, that's a serious problem.
We are kind of on the planet of the apes now. It's just much stupid.
The NFT apes.
I don't want to focus too much on this NFT band though. I want to just say, like, this is very clear. Like, you know how all the pricing of crypto generally and NFTs also is, like, so just defined by wash trading?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that, like, this is, once again, like, you just sort of, if you're Universal Music Group and you own some of these, you just sign some artists by buying them on the blockchain.
Wash trading or money dry cleaning.
Yeah. But it's but it's the same principle, right? It's just,
currency cleansing.
You can see the hype getting built, but it's so insular and strange that it ends up just, it's again like some machine has been left on and it started to, like, get very funny.
Yeah, the machine that sucks you off.
Yeah, but no, I don't want to talk about that to the point that we're not done talking about the NFT band. I want to talk about NFTs for a while now.
Yeah,
they're
a great investment opportunity. Legally, this is investment advice.
Legally, this is not investment advice.
Buy all the NFTs.
This conversation has just prompted a horribly cursed thought in my mind, which is Banksy NFT. And it's going to happen. Yeah, if it hasn't already, it's going to.
You know what it is? It's going to, the NFT is going to be a link to the power consumption of that NFT.
You're going
to be able to see its power consumption live.
Hell yeah, that's cool.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be an NFT that's a commentary on NFTs, and it's going to fucking suck.
It's already making me think, and it's not even happening.
Someone has already exploited this by doing a fake Banksy NFT that is exactly like you described. Like,
wait, it's fake Banksy, is that like fake taxi, where you have to fuck Banksy?
They defrauded a guy of $336,000 for some pixels of a power station. So, yes.
Yeah, I mean, how different is that from a normal one,
Being driven around by a guy in an ape costume, and I'm like, wait, you're not the real Banksy.
I have a startup. I'm not going to tell you the name because the name gives away what it does.
Okay.
Instead, I'm going to tell you the first line of their mission statement. Our mission is to prove the value of clean shipping.
Fucking...
Give me a guess.
I don't like it.
I don't know. It's a Russian man in a Telniashka who sucks all of the bunker oil out of your ship so that it runs cleanly. I don't know.
They've got it. Surely this has got to be a shipping company?
Yes, it's a shipping company.
Do you want me to guess what the name is?
No, I want you to guess what it does on the
shipping,
basis of...
probably.
Like, how is it a startup? What is its big claim?
We employ a single Russian man. Who's gonna suck
local man
up.
Oil companies hate him. Is it carbon offsets again?
No, they are talking about developing a resilient decarbonized transportation sector is one of the most critical tasks of the era. Eliminating fossil fuels from the maritime sector is achievable by using advanced technology and simple techniques.
They're bringing back sails.
Yes. Oh, yes! Fuck! Yes.
Yes.
You know
what? This isn't.
This
is far from the dumbest thing.
No, this is good actually. We like this.
Oh no, that's the thing. I don't hate this. It's just very funny that this is so beyond inventing the bus.
Yeah,
they've invented the carrot.
You'll heard of the cutty sock.
This might be the first time in a long time that we've done a startup that had a good idea. Mm.
Oh, yeah. Well, it doesn't have a... no, it certainly doesn't have a bad idea. It's just very amusing to me that
it's a tech thing.
Invented a galleon.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got this new technology.
We have found Matt Hancock a job.
Oh, yes.
He would love to be in charge of the sailing ships.
Yes. Captain Phillips, but with actual old-timey pirates. It's such a fun concept. I am the captain now.
I love the like, we're going back to the age of sail now. Yeah. We can do, like, pirate radio, but we're actual pirates. Perfect. We just run the podcast off of a galleon. Great.
Great news for my AWOL Nation NFT.
I mean, that's if you think about it, right?
That's by far the least bad of the various apocalypses that could happen, is we're all just living in, like, Master and Commander.
Oh, Waterworld.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We all have to drink that one singer's piss, but, like, other than that, we get to dress up as you know, 18th century Royal Navy guys. It'd be cool.
Yeah. Cool.
I think that'd be great.
Oceans are now everywhere.
Oceans are now startup battlefields.
Yeah.
Oceans are now TechCrunch disrupt. So basically, right, they say the problem, ocean transportation operates outside territorial waters. From mining iron ore to ship construction.
That's just some other things.
Poverty level wages and oil spills to abandoning first world ships and third world beaches. The shipping industry has a destructive impact on our planet.
That's all
correct.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that is true. It's just, again, I don't think that necessarily a sailboat is the answer to that. It's you know, it's that, again, I don't dispute that this is actually a good idea. But I think also it's one of these things where to fixing the problems, it's not enough to have a good idea.
Well, the thing is,
you
like,
have to undo the other stuff.
The actual transportation thing, that's not a bad idea, like having sailing ships, but it requires us to vastly refigure our whole thing of logistics. Because if you're waiting on a sailing ship, even if it does have, you know, like other forms of propulsion, you're not going to be able to get a lot of shit next day anymore. And that's the real sort of like shift that we have to make, I think.
Yeah. Which is also, like, fine.
Yeah, it's good. Amazon we should
delivery
be doing
time
this.
Extends to 3 months.
Yeah.
Your doohickey is being loaded onto a tea clipper, like, in the port of Jakarta.
We are kind of going
Funko
back.
Your Funko Pops are being loaded
good.
Onto
I
this
like
galleon.
This. I like this. You should be able to, like, okay, fine. I'm not a dictator. I think you should be allowed to get a Funko Pop. I just think it should take you between 3 and 6 months.
Yeah. It should be a Funko Pop of Captain Jack Aubrey.
Yes.
Stop describing the first Funko Pop I've ever thought is actually kind of a fun idea.
Comes with a little weevil.
Yeah, that's the test. You have to choose between two Funko Pops of weevils, one of which is slightly smaller than the other.
Wait, I bet there's a Funko Pop. I'm gonna search for this right now.
What, of a weevil?
Yeah, of a weevil.
Yeah, that's right.
There's an Aubrey from Pitch Perfect Funko Pop, so I guess you can just sort of like rejig that.
Yeah, I guess, well, it's the same
Master
name.
Master and Commander 2, but they're all singing and it's all a cappella.
Oceans are now concert halls.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think we are going back to the age of sail, right? We've got a lot of new and different kinds of phrenology. Mm-hmm. We've got, we also have eccentric rich guys just kind of experimenting with weird sort of concepts for a society.
Yeah, we have podcasting live from Boodles.
A lot of people dying of malnutrition again.
Yeah, we have scurvy.
Oh, yeah. Scurvy is back.
We've also have different billionaires all racing to try to make New Caledonia as well.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Am I thinking of the right colony?
Of Darien. Yeah. You're thinking of the Darien scheme.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we have. We're back in the age of sail, and we finally have the coolest thing about it, which is a sailboat. Of course, we don't actually have the sailboat yet because it sort of seems under construction for a while. But
Well, this now basically goes back to Nate's opinion, which is that like the only thing the Navy SEALs should ever be allowed to do is like an operation where they like halo jump into the ocean, scuba dive up to a boat, and then kill everyone with knives. So we can basically make the Navy SEALs carry cutlasses instead of guns. And that more or less achieves that.
We end up with a bunch of, like, operator shit, like, you can get Navy SEAL t-shirts and knives and shit, but it's all pirate-themed now.
It's the Navy SEALs
Tactical ruffles on my shirt, yeah.
they're ruffles
on
my shirt.
Musket ball.
Well, the ruffles on my shirt actually blink infrared if a light is shined on me so that a helicopter knows not to
shoot
me.
I'm going to be thinking about 18th century tactical guy for a long time now because of this.
What, like someone who won't stop talking about like musket balls?
Yeah, I got some like molly loops on my tricorn. Yeah, absolutely.
Someone who like walking into an inn in a red coat, being just like, one ale, please. Just like, hey, You did not serve in the Napoleonic Wars.
Yeah. Just speaking in German so everyone assumes I'm a Hessian mercenary.
Which of the inbred cousins was your commander? He didn't have inbreeding. Ah, ha! But no, it's also a green investment opportunity because they haven't built it yet, but you can buy shares in the ship.
Yeah, which we are advising the ship that doesn't exist legally to do.
And it's
this is investment advice.
That's
I'm
right.
Can't stress that enough.
So it's based in Costa Rica, but they've been registered in Canada since 2014. So they are a unique and progressive logistics agency.
HMS
and
the two Michaels.
Wait, there's just a picture there of like some women like sawing up wood with hand tools. I don't think that's how you build a ship that's going to be able to do this.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Maybe you want to invest in it.
Surely also the ships won't be wood.
No, you
there
would
hope
be wood,
not. Yes.
What?
No, they're wood.
That's stupid. Why wouldn't you just use regular modern materials and just put... You could, if anything, they'd be more efficient if you could control them better without having to, like, send a guy up there. But, like...
Yeah, that'd be lighter. Surely you'd... Yeah, no.
Now
the company's stupid.
Now it's stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, fuck. They're all hippies. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the ship's going to be made of hemp. Everyone on board's going to wear vegan shoes. Philip's really, he's really into that, so...
Oh, you want to hear some names?
He did a lot of sailing at Stowe.
I do want to hear some names.
Okay, so... Danielle Doggett, not a strange name.
It's a little strange.
No.
Fine name.
And Danielle Dogging.
Just like, yeah, that's right.
Danielle Dogging, hang on, I want
to
find...
Yeah, we're meeting up with our ships in international waters to do some dogging.
Lynx Guimond.
Oh, nice.
French Canadians love to be named.
They do. That is true.
Lynx is a world-class woodworker and is technical director of Sail Cargo Incorporated. He has a wide range of experience in several fields, including construction, art, and design.
But
his skills in woodworking, which I don't dispute, are uniquely ill-suited to building a modern container ship.
And shipbuilding is a very... Like, there's not a shortage of people who know how to design and build ships.
But he is a freelance woodworker who could also do the figureheads.
Okay. In that case. You
know. I think figureheads are cool. We should have figureheads on more ships.
Yeah, that's why I'm so of two minds about, as you said, Alice, right? This is actually a good idea. Like, we should, wind-powered vessels are free. It's just, in this case, they've made a 40-meter, three-masted schooner out of wood.
Why? Yeah. That can't carry anything.
This is another thing where, like, the kind of nutters who always hijack the environmental movement have had, like, a good idea followed by an extremely stupid one. Mm. It reminds me of a time when I saw someone arguing against electric cars on the basis that they're made out of steel, which uses carbon to be produced, and it's like... Buddy, we're never going to have a society that doesn't need steel. Like, you do realize that everything's fucking made of it, right? Not just cars, like buildings and shit. And also all the shit that you, like, are you that dumb that you think we're just going to get rid of steel? Like, no, you just need to find a green way of making it, right?
Like, or you could be like, less cars, build trains, still need steel.
Yeah, exactly. Like, everything's made of steel. Make the ships out of steel. It's what you make ships out of, you fucking hippies.
It's not even like try and limit the amount of steel. It's not even like replace steel with other stuff when you can. It's just, you have to drive the Flintstones car to work.
Yeah, that's right. All of our ships are going to be made of granite.
We're bringing back Pycrete.
Yeah, 3D printed skiff.
Mm.
Although apparently they have secured signed letters of intent from prospective cargo clients to fill their flagship on all northbound voyages and a significant portion of our southbound voyages.
With what, doubloons? Like, what the fuck are you going to put on that?
Funko Pops.
Oh, yeah, I'm using my fucking T-Clipper to deliver two new Chevrolet Traverses, and it's full. Yeah. Like, what?
Well, I'm imagining a world in which this does become the dominant form of, like, seaborne logistics, and instead of a T-Clipper, like, that's the new class of ship. It's a Funko Clipper.
Yeah, it's really top-heavy.
It's very funny. They have three boats in their design portfolio. They have their core vessel, which is the Ceiba, C-E-I-B-A. And then they have a coastal schooner and then a small fishing boat.
Oh, cool.
I'll Oh, hello. We've got a Dutch name here. Their flagship vessel was designed by Pepin van Schaik.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, awesome. It was. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's such a funny little company where, yeah, it's such a good idea.
Pepin van Schaik is the inventor, like, of the fake shake.
It seems
the
like
of Shake Shack.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
it seems like a really good idea that's just like so strange.
I literally have a bit about this in my new stand-up show, that environmentalists have ruined caring about the survival of the human race in the same way that men's rights activists ruined caring about men getting raped in prison. Like, they've just made it the preserve of absolute lunatics.
Yeah, various cranks.
Yeah. And then they have a good idea, and then immediately like, yeah, also the ship has to be like astrology somehow. And you're like, oh, you were so close.
Well, apparently they can transport 250 tons of cargo between
That's not very much.
It's not a lot.
It's cargo. How much can it be? 250 tons?
I'm just going to Google like here. Average cargo ship capacity. And we'll see gives me. That's some fucking TEUs. I don't know what that
fucking
is.
Pablo Escobar was shipping more than that to the US.
Oh, my. Well, they also were all in Glasgow for COP doing their thing.
Oh, of course. They didn't even sail a tall ship down the Clyde, which would have been cool.
Apparently, they also have electric engines, which use a combination of green hydrogen fuel cells.
Again, that's just a good idea, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, build a bigger ship.
Bigger and stupider and possibly uglier and like, yeah, no. Mm.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, this is just a company I was very ambivalent about because it's fun. I think it's fun to have a ship.
Here's
I love the age
it's,
of sail.
It's a fun hobby, right? Like, I'd love to go on a little coastal schooner, right? With a bunch of guys who wear hemp shoes. That's a fun hobby, but like, it's not really a tech startup and it's not really that like scalable. So,
yeah, it's kind of the opposite of tech, isn't it? Yeah. Really.
Mm. I mean, we talk about this, right? What is tech? So many tech companies are just a company with a website.
Mm. Yeah. This is a company with a boat, which is more impressive.
Yeah, and a website. How many? Yeah. How many joint stock companies in the age of sail had a blog? I'll tell you that. All right. That's sail cargo. A fun little divergence into probably the best startup we have talked about on the show.
I have some affection for this. Yes.
Yeah.
Make the ship Wi-Fi connected.
I've decided that today is going to be a little bit of a chill vibes episode.
Oh yeah, we're turning the lights down. We're passing around the shisha pipe.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to do a few little remembrances of some of our old friends.
Well, it is Remembrance Sunday.
That's right.
And the Queen has not shown up.
Ed, alive and.
She's live elsewhere.
Yeah. How does the Queen sprain her back?
She was fucking suplexing one of her staff. The queen is now like a girlfriend that weird guy at school had. She's like always like somewhere else. She goes to a different school.
That's why
she's on holiday.
Also the Queen of Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah.
She's in Canada. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just for American viewers.
She's gone out for a rip and sprained her back.
For American listeners, just to catch you up.
The Queen is...
You've heard of this Queen.
Yeah.
She's basically like been hidden from public view due to like a Mr. Burns panoply of different ailments, problems, maladies. Oh, yeah.
She has died
of
being too old. She's 95 years old. She's dead. Yep. She's dead. She's fucking dead. Man.
And the thing is, they're not able to announce anything like when it comes to COP, this Remembrance Day. And so I just have a vision of a palace staff increasingly being like, oh, okay, what else can we say she has? She has dropsy. She can't come out today because she has dropsy.
Yeah, don't let her have any water. We need the Gibbo group chat to fire back up.
That's true.
We need the intel. We need the erect penis.
Well,
we need Ricey. We need cheeks. We need Morty.
We need a picture of a man spreading his ass cheeks open in the preview of that group. Yes, absolutely.
And when I say we need that, I mean we, the three of us, need that.
Yes.
So
personally,
do send that to us by mail.
Send us find the studio address and send photos of a guy spreading his ass cheeks.
Yeah, and Gibbo NFT when print it out by post, please.
Yeah,
print it
out, on like glossy photo paper, signed. You know, nice quality. Yeah. best wishes, Gibbo.
Yeah, we will frame any that we receive.
Yeah, I think that's probably okay. If you can find the address of the studio and mail us a glossy printout of a man spreading his butt, we will frame it.
Once again, getting serious guests, and they have to come into the studio and look
at the entire wall, a sound diffuser made of that. What is actually quite funny about this is that it's much easier online to find our accountant's address, and if you mail stuff to our accountants, legally they have to open it, scan the contents, and email it to us.
No, please don't torture Nick. Torture us.
Yeah.
Oh no. I want to talk about some old friends. All right. So I've gotten some updates from listeners on a couple of different things about some startups that we've, some companies we've talked about. Mm. I have a short one and a long one. We'll start with a short one. Which is that a listener wrote in to say that remember Starship? It's the little cooler that drives around the city in Milton Keynes delivers you your widget.
The thing that was like being driven by like a guy in Bolivia, right?
Well, they're putting sails on it now.
Yeah, it wasn't even so advanced as we drove by a guy in Bolivia. If only. Apparently, the Starship micromobility delivery robot was sort of trundling around a micromobility conference in Milton Keynes. Mm. And then a keen-eyed listener saw that it was being followed around by a Starship employee whose coat was conspicuously draped over his arm the whole time.
Yeah, he's the waiter in the coat
was
store.
Was not even being piloted
for
Bolivia.
He's getting arrested, but they're being like discreet about it.
Yeah, it's just one guy.
Oh,
one
I could
guy.
Take my hands out from under this coat anytime I want. Yeah. Don't you worry about that. I'm just off for a beer with these two fine officers of the law.
Well, no,
they're off duty, by the way. That's
no, it's the look, this is an unrelated remote control. All right.
Yeah, I'm using this to control a guy in Bolivia. Yeah, like, you don't need to worry about that.
It's like, no, you don't understand. I'm masturbating under here. I'm not driving the little car. No.
Yeah, because I'm fully erect at how good this robot is.
Yeah. Aren't we all? And I thought that was a fun little observation. I love to hear that. If you come into contact with one of the companies we talk about, please send it in.
We have little
and we'll
like spies in the field. We have operatives now. I feel very positive about this.
I want to talk more about the big fish, the longer one, THG. We've gotten some insider intel from THG.
Yeah, we have a highly placed confidential source who met us at an NCP multi-story car park in Bromley and delivered us a manila envelope full of documents.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for joining me behind the glades.
Oh, it wouldn't be in Bromley, though, because they're super Manchester-y. It would be in, like, the lobby of one of the luxury buildings of luxury flats.
We met a shadowy informant in the car park of the Arndale Center, and they delivered us a roller suitcase full of documents. I'm just thinking about like the funniest thing to receive your documents from a confidential source in, because like ideally you want the silver like aluminium attaché case, but you could go
Alice,
so much
Paw
better.
Paw Patrol lunchbox.
Alice. It's a Lisa Frank binder.
Absolutely.
What's Lisa Frank?
I mean, it was really. I don't know if you guys had that
like
over here.
Stickers, like sort of like holographic stickers for children.
Oh, like a Panini football sticker book.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's full of secret documents.
Yeah.
This is the look, rainbow animals.
This looks very like
that's the 90s
you've taken a lot of mushrooms.
Yeah. I don't know. I think roller backpack is also very funny. Just in general.
Allow me to be Lisa Frank.
Apparently, there is a Lisa Frank apartment in Los Angeles.
I don't like that at all.
Wow. Yeah, you can go and jack off in the Lisa Frank apartment.
Apparently,
that's what you're into.
Apparently, it was controversial. No, we're going to talk about
THG. We received a shitload of documents in an old duffel bag.
I won't sort of say anything specific about them or anything about their specific job. I'm just taking the intel about the people, which is very funny.
And when we say them, this might not even be a person. This could be a trained ape.
Could be a trained ape. You then hit with a hammer, killing it.
Yeah, a donkey that we've hit with the ape hammer, thereby rendering it smarter somehow because we used the wrong type of hammer.
Could be a consortium of people who have like got together in order to be gay together, like the movie JFK.
So, yeah, possibly.
Hive mind.
A Greek chorus has given us some information about the behavior.
Foghorn Leghorn, played by Kevin Costner, has given us some information.
We read some skywriting about this.
Yeah. Yeah. U.S. government will have you believe that I'm a company THG.
This is the problem,
wrong.
Right? If you genuinely do give us secret information, we will broadcast it, but the price of that is you have to sit through this much bits about you giving us that information.
Yeah, that's right.
So... basically, Matt Moulding is a strange guy.
Oh.
And so you say has a bodyguard who teaches him Krav Maga.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Kind of shit I would do.
Absolutely.
It's Matt Hancock.
No, because remember, this is a legend.
Right.
He's a very specific type of British business legend.
Right.
And when I tell this next anecdote, you'll see exactly what kind of like, just absolute like success grind set dullard I'm talking about.
Okay.
Okay. So he used to tell stories at annual meetings about success in business.
Hmm.
And apparently he was mentored by his mentor refused to take delivery on a multi-million pound yacht because the company building it accidentally put a higher quality decking on it than he'd asked for.
It was made of wood.
Yeah. The company basically said, well, yeah, we got it slightly wrong in your favor. Surely you'd be happy about this. But he said, this is not what I asked for, and then had a huge argument with them that ended up with him getting a discount on the yacht and the company going into a financial crisis.
Discount yacht is already a very funny sequence of words. Oh,
yeah. It's going down to TK Maxx picking up last season's discount yacht.
Yeah, apparently this used to be a Funko Pop scooter.
Yeah. TK Maxx stands for T-Clipper Max.
Yeah. This is his favorite story about business because the moral is you have to seize every opportunity.
What?
But this basically, yeah.
The moral is you have to be a huge piece of shit to everyone around you.
But also,
if
like,
you have one shot, one opportunity,
you know what I mean.
To get a discount on a yacht, would you capture it or just let it slip?
What I mean here is that this is very much like something that that David Brent would do.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
This is something David Brent would idolize. Or like Hank Hill's boss
getting a discount on my Dirty Bertie figurine. Yeah,
this is absolutely like Hank Hill talking about Mr. Strickland.
Mm.
Very amusing. But here's what I like the most. The guy in charge of the tech part of the company. Here is a story. Ross used to tell stories and one of them was the following. I got caught doing 150 miles per hour in my old Impreza on the M6 once. But the policeman let me go with a warning because he said I clearly knew what I was doing behind the wheel.
Legend.
Oh, yes.
Legend. That's
yes.
A legend.
That is powerful David Brent energy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just absolutely just a pretend story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just something something that a 45-year-old trying to impress a 22-year-old makes up about
actually, the police thought I was cool.
Yeah.
What is it from? It's from something where it's like, oh yeah, I was driving I went go-karting and the instructor there was like, are you a professional racing driver? And he said we don't allow professionals. And I was like, I'm not a professional. He's like, well, you should be.
Yeah, I actually had to register
now,
my hands as lethal weapons.
This is pretty much exactly a sitcom thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so funny that there is this darling of sort of British industry, this thing that's supposed to like be Britain's answer to Amazon. More
I actually
or less.
Can't have sex with my wife anymore because I'm too good at sex, and she might come so hard that she would literally die.
What do you think happened to
I've
the
had
queen?
To register.
Yeah,
register my penis as a deadly. Well, the queen just got such amazing dick.
Yeah,
that
she quite
away.
Literally got her back walls blown out, and that's why she can't go to the cenotaph.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and it's here's another good story. You've got one guy running around making everyone do curls with the water fountain bottle things.
What?
And talking about how he's in the bad books with his wife because he designed a bot to automate replying to her texts with things like "I love you too" and "see you soon, babe," but forgot to turn it off when he went home, which is again a lie.
What if you ask a direct question? And she's just like, oh, what do you want for dinner tonight? And he's like, love you too, babe.
Well, yeah, that's
see
why
you soon, babe.
That's why I think a lot of these people are just like, this is the classic thing that like a guy in a, this is like throwing a tea kettle over the pub, right? This is just shaggy dog stories told by
people love to
legends.
Lie. Yeah, absolutely.
But also, it's such a unique... I feel like almost this belongs on Britannology at this point, because it's such a... This kind of petty self-aggrandizement, like petty, but sort of chest puffery.
It's kind of the like, I've made like 50 million quid and therefore I can move into an even bigger Barrett home sort of like lie.
Also, they tended to assign their teams based on just like vibes. So the MyProtein guys were all really jacked and... all of the look fantastic girls were sort of like Towie type babes and so on. Mm-hmm. But anytime someone got like cross promoted across struggling brands, it was always a problem. So there was one of the himbos got promoted to go run the Xanti diet products, which was a very low calorie diet that made people's hair fall out. I'm sort of trying to get my head around THG.
It's a very strange workplace, I'm finding.
Yeah, but
a diet so low calorie that it makes your hair fall out. I guess you do lose weight then.
Yeah,
yeah, hair weight.
Technically, yeah. I get to get rid of that hair weight. I'm trying to shed 3 pounds of hair before summer.
it seems like I almost don't know how it exists because it's. I guess in culture. This is all of this kind of management style is like the hallmark of someone who's a perennial fuck up and object of comedy.
It's not quite David Brent. It's more like Brian Butterfield. Like everything is like a harebrained scheme. Like the diet that makes people's hair fall out is like perfect Butterfield.
Mm.
They also like
the speaking clock where it's one guy and you have to ring him and he has to look at the clock and tell you what time it is.
But also, it's like there's a certain kind of British guy, right? Because it also says, yes, they love to do all this self-aggrandizing stuff. They spend £250,000 on the annual party, but there's still not a free bar. They just spend £250,000 on like...
On what?
On themes and decorations.
On himbos.
Someone please help me budget this. My company is dying. I spent 250 grand on tinsel.
Well, the entertainment is hooked up to the sound system. It's just a phone that's calling the speaking clock in Indonesia.
the money would go on themes and decorations like dodgems, a wall of fake foliage with actors paid to stand behind it and stick their hand through holding champagne glasses. It's just so harebrained.
What?
It's at every stage, it's absurd.
Why?
Really taking sanity damage from this.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of fun just to think about like people who actually like look at us. You know what? It's at a Sigma grind set Instagram post that's been put in charge of a huge company in the Northwest.
You know who this does remind me of a little bit is Notch, Marcus Pearson, the guy who allegedly created Minecraft. Because like he made his money off of that, and then he bought himself a massive house in the Hollywood Hills. And in a sort of a fit of extravagance, he bought himself an entire wall of candy, like loose candy, to like store on a wall to dispense it. And obviously, right. You can't eat that much candy at once, and he didn't ever have anyone else in his house. And so his candy wall rotted and had to be disposed of. And so that's what I think of here, is the rotting candy wall.
You'd think that candy wouldn't rot, it would just kind of go stale, because there's so much sugar in it, you'd think it would kind of be sort of undecayable.
You'd think, but, yeah.
Huh. Well, there you go. I hate it when my candy wall rots.
Yeah, that's true.
Getting my candy walls blown out.
Who
is it? That was it. Fuck, it was a comedian I met at a gig who was telling me that his brother bought a... This is such a fucking guy. His brother bought a houseboat somewhere in East London. And as part of the renovations that he did to this houseboat, bought like a full bore like kebab, like a doner kebab making machine, like the rotisserie.
Oh, that's so cool!
Making shitload of doner on my discount houseboat.
Love a harebrained idea.
His kitchen is just completely taken up with this doner kebab thing, and like this comedian was like, yeah, I was just like, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard, and I'm like telling him this, and he's like, meanwhile he's just sending me videos of him and his mates on his houseboat, and he's like making everyone doner kebabs, and they're all talking to him as though it's a real kebab shop, and he's just going like, yes boss, next boss.
Sorry, I'm afraid that sounds pretty fun.
Having a
it's
fantastic
a harebrained idea.
Time
I would
are you kidding?
I think that would be a lot. I love the idea of like like creating little fake businesses in your house.
Yeah. Like again, Matt Hancock stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's just
living in a tiny one of those like Dutch dementia care homes, but just for yourself.
Yeah, you get to like, you can have like a little kebab shop or like the lamest thing to do is have like a bar or fake movie theater in your house.
Yeah, a little brothel in your house.
I genuinely
just suck off anyone who comes around.
Yes, self defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you do suck my gas. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's the castle doctrine where you anyone who breaks in your house you
my
blow.
Cheeks.
How do we get onto that again?
I think we talked about how, like, if you sucked a guy off, it would disorient him enough to enable you to get away if he was trying to rob you. Yeah. And from there, we developed a whole sort of art of self-defense around sucking people off.
The most sensitive pressure point of all is the dick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the frenulum.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you suck the dick, you just got to lick him under the head of the penis.
Is this a frenulum?
That's how you make friends. You rub your frenula together.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Also, fuck. Well, oh yeah, I'd love to see the director of the Raid movies make a movie with our martial art.
Suck McGar. Yeah.
Yeah, like running up a wall to flip and then like going upside down and like taking the guy's cock in your mouth as you land.
The Raid porn parody. It's just such a.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I have to suck off this entire tower block of guys to get to the top.
Yeah. Just like comedy faces is like you're like dodging punches and kicks and then you get his cock into your mouth and he gets like a close up where he just goes like,
yeah, just the eye cross like Dan Aykroyd in Ghostbusters.
You know, people always talk about the Raid's porn parody, but like they never appreciate the camera work that goes into that. To follow the suck all the way through, that really took a lot of work, you know?
Just getting to the top of the tower and you're just covered in gum. And there's a bunch of guys just asleep on the stairs.
Oh, yeah. You gotta fight Mad Dog who's trying to suck you off.
Yeah, that's right.
You're doing the thing
first, going at each other.
You're doing the thing in the martial arts movie where you have a bunch of blows get blocked really quickly, but it's you trying to suck a guy off.
Oh god, that's a really fun. I love.
I'm going to be thinking about this for a good while. Is you know just.
Oh, that's from Tomorrow
that's
Never
from
Dies.
Tomorrow Never Dies, yes. The movie in which Elliot Carver sucks off James Bond.
Tomorrow suck off some guys.
It's fun that like the last time we did this, we had like a serious labor thinker on.
Yeah, now we're talking about how we need to get a framed photo of a guy spreading his ass cheeks on the wall of the studio. Yeah.
I got one more little topic for us.
Okay.
Which is again another sort of drive through. I think a guy who fully encapsulates a Matt Hancockian role as God's perfect idiot.
Mm. Okay.
Except he's not as perfect as Matt Hancock, obviously.
No one can.
Imperfect God's idiot.
Yeah, and as we'll see, he also is extremely flawed. But
God's attempted moron.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, God's attempted moron. I don't want to call him a perfect idiot because he seems
who is without sin.
Mm.
Because no one who is a perfect idiot has been this in contact with Epstein.
Okay.
We're talking about.
No, actually, I think that does kind of apply to Steven Pinker. I believe that Steven Pinker is genuinely unaware there was paedophilia going on around him. He's just like, all these waitresses are pretty young. Can I get a bottle of water?
Yeah, the kind of like Mr. Magoo aspect. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, what kind of plane is this?
He's the one I believe genuinely had no idea.
I don't believe Steven Pinker is a paedophile, and I'll say that to anyone.
Yeah, I will sue you.
Yeah, getting sued by Steven Pinker. It's like, I am a paedophile.
No, he is not.
Legally, it's not the position of this podcast that he is.
Yeah. So this is about Jez Staley, who was the took over Barclays Bank in 2015. He's an American guy. James goes by Jez. How can an American go by Jez?
Yeah, he just loves Peep Show.
Mm. Yeah, we put Jez in charge of the bank.
Read a lot about the Battle of Stalingrad.
Basically, he took over Barclays in 2015 for some reason, and then has basically been embattled ever since.
Mm. I would hate to be embattled.
He's spent like his ever since taking
can't
that role.
Lend yourself all the bank's money and spend it on skag, Jeremy.
I would hate to be embroiled. I would hate to be in any kind of situation like that.
Setting my oven to embroil.
Yeah. So he basically, like, there were several scandals about, like, a whistleblower that he sort of, you know, it seems he paid to intimidate or something like this. And, like, it resulted in him receiving, like,
by a guy called Jez.
Well, it resulted in him receiving, like, a censure. So he had to pay a fine. Like, this guy has been, like, fucked up tons, right?
Yeah, sucking his way to the top of that tower block.
That's right. Let's just say dogged by
Julius Caesar, but it's them all just sucking him off one after another.
At two, you know what it was.
So in 2015,
sucked off a bunch of guys.
In 2015, he took over. In 2016, he attempted to uncover, like, a whistleblower in the bank.
He was the real whistleblower.
Like, and also, like, you, by the way, used the full power of the United States Postal Inspection Service to, like, turn over recordings of this guy to him, and they did.
Mm. And they were like, we're busy with Greg Stubbe. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Should have surveilled the Glades car park.
Mm. That's right. We've seen us getting that Lisa Frank.
That's right.
Binder. So, anyway. What happened was that, and then he was, like, fined, censured. He was allowed to stay on as CEO for whatever reason. But he is a classic moron, and we're kind of going to go through why. So why he's in the news now is that he's stepped down as CEO as a result of it coming to light after an investigation that started in 2020 that he has emailed Jeffrey Epstein 1,200 times.
Probably for normal reasons.
Hi. How you doing?
Derek McKay emails. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hi. Do you like rugby? Hi.
Yeah. Hey.
How's it going?
Hey, little Jay.
He developed a relationship with Epstein in 2000, and they stayed in contact for 7 years with Epstein after he was convicted in 2008.
Listen, it's called loyalty.
To the point where he visited Epstein in his cell.
On what night was that?
Yeah, he turned off both of the cameras pointing at the door to Jeffrey Epstein's cell because he's a good friend.
Oh, sorry, no, it wasn't in his cell. It was when Epstein was on work release, because you remember he was, like, for his
work
prison
release
sentence.
Being a pedophile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very funny to work release a guy like Epstein who demonstrably does not have a job.
Yeah, he just goes and sits behind. You know, he would go sit beside his desk and play with his little desk clackers.
Yeah, we've got to release him to suck guys off. CEO stands for seeing everyone's organ.
Absolutely makes sense. Do not look into it further. Yeah,
so that's cool. Right. Anyway, he claims that they stopped hanging out, but the last contact was in 2015. When Staley just sailed his own yacht to Epstein's Island, right? And while looking through these emails, a lot of it's routine communication, but there's a lot of code words in there, right? Like, for example, they refer to Snow White referring to, like, some other thing, and, like, it can easy to speculate on what that is. And also,
Snow,
like,
White referring to the thing that gave us a lot of our business ideas.
A couple of legends.
That's right, matey.
He's American, so, like, he's got to have the fucked transatlantic accent. It's going to sound like Lloyd Grossman.
But it's also
but in seriousness, we did hire 7 dwarves.
So that's just Roger Moore.
Oh, Sir Roger Moore.
You wouldn't do Snow White with me. I'm a little birthday boy.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's you can speculate as to what that means for ages, right? I mean, all those Hitler, all that, like, that Pizzagate stuff all started because people were wildly speculating about weird email commentary.
Yeah, so,
like,
you should wildly speculate too.
Yeah. And also, no, like, the uber wealthy are, like, fish people. Like, of course they're gonna talk and be weird. Like, they are not understandable to us at all.
Yeah, that's right.
But also, like,
here he uses the code word pedophile to refer to
that could mean anything.
Yeah, that's right.
But also, I think it a lot of it just goes to show how totally removed from life these people are.
Using the code word pedophile.
Well, especially Epstein. That's right.
Using the code word pedophile to refer to Steven Pinker because he isn't one. Yeah. That's why it's a code word.
Just talking about Epstein's death in cop language, like, oh, there was a pedophile-involved incident in which a man was removed from life.
Pedophile-involved neck snapping?
That's right.
So, but what that's not actually what I want to talk about, right? Like, of course, like, every rich person is, like, deeply connected to Jeffrey Epstein.
Of course.
Like, and all the ones that aren't are connected to a Jeffrey Epstein clone we don't know. Not a literal clone, but, like, a sort of
like,
carbon copy of him we don't
know
about.
You're fucking like Mark Rector Collins, gay Epstein.
Yeah, like just people
What's
that,
actually
like,
his name? I'm going to have
gay
to check
Epstein.
That.
Epstein. Yo, I'm feeling like a gay Epstein.
Mark Collins like, Rector, the gay Epstein, yeah. Yes.
But, like, of course, like, every rich person is connected in
the
this
gay
way.
Epstein is a Riley screen name.
It's not.
The gay Epstein.
My screen name right now is Tonka Richardson.
Epstein,
and it's going to stay like that for
gay.
A while.
Yeah, and unlike the gay Epstein, I don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
The gay Epstein is something we can all relate to.
But no, I want to talk
about...
it'd
be more confusing. The asexual Epstein.
I want to talk a little bit more... about,
I just like to chat to young
like
people.
Hang out with
see
children.
What's on their mind.
Yeah.
I want to chat a little bit more about a story from the last time he was embattled, which paints a picture of a deeply stupid man.
Cool.
I hate getting embattled all the time.
Yeah. So if you recall that whole whistleblower affair, right? Mm. And it got censured in 2018. He was asking for support from the bank's like group lead, a guy called John McFarlane. So email exchanges have emerged, reported The Guardian, in which the American banker Jez Staley lavishes praise on the bank's chairman, John McFarlane, and thanks him for his support at the general meeting on Wednesday. But when Staley was responding to emails by quote-unquote John McFarlane, sent under the subject line, "The fool doth think he is wise,"
cool.
he did not appear to realize that they were being sent by a prankster who was not John McFarlane.
Join me, Mr. Chopper.
Which is so good. The fool, like, it's, I love that just getting an email, like, from, you know, like, johnmcfarlane@gmail.com as the CEO of Barclays.
Yeah, at protonmail.kz.
Yeah, yeah. Just being like, well, this is John McFarlane.
johnscam.mcfarlane_claim now.
Yeah, John McFarlane said I could get a bigger Pathrinus.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
The email exchange shows Staley being told, quote, "You owe me a large scotch," after the AGM, in which the chairman repeatedly defended the chief executive over his attempts to unmask a whistleblower. Someday I want to see an ad lib guitar run. You have all the fearlessness of Eric Clapton," said Jez Staley.
Very McFarlane- racist.
McFarlane spent a large part of his career in Australia.
You have all the
media.
Fearlessness of Eric Clapton. You leave a lot of windows open around your young son.
but like it's he's
grease
basically
up
just
this floor next to my window.
He's essentially just heaping. Like, you know, just heaping praise on his boss, saying, you are a unique man, Mr. McFarlane.
It's men supporting men.
You came to my defense today with a courage not seen to many people. How do I thank you? You have a sense of what is right, and you have a sense of theater. You mix humor with grit. Thank you, John. Never underestimate my recognition of your support.
Gross.
And my respect for your guile.
Gross.
My respect for your guile. Awesome. Love that. I love to respect a man's
guile.
Yeah,
when we played Street Fighters together.
And this,
that's why it's called guile, because it's for the guys.
But it's just, it's so, just this guy falling over himself to like heap praise on this, again, on johnmcfarlane@gmail.scam.
Bless him.
He's a deeply, deeply, deeply stupid man.
Hmm.
Awesome. But here's what makes it extra
Boomers,
fun.
You've got to love him.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is the brief conversation ended with a final email around 11 p.m. where John McFarlane, quote-unquote, sent Jez Staley a poem, which began, "Worry not of tomorrow's end," and ended with the phrase, "Revel in their bloodied eyes." The first letter
I'm
of
sorry,
each line...
I'm sorry, was he under the impression that his boss was like a Middle Ages guy?
The first letter of each line spelling out the word whistleblower. Mr. Staley simply replied, "Thank you for sharing the foxhole."
Awesome.
Great.
And perfect. Do you know why the prankster did it?
Why?
A customer issue. He got bad customer service and then just effortlessly pranked the CEO of Barclays.
Great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, perfect.
God bless pranks.
I love that. Just basically, yeah, by sending, like, trying to make it more and more obvious that you're pranking him and him just refusing to realize it.
Why are you atting customer service on Twitter when you could be doing this?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When you
this
could
is,
simply
this
defraud
is the
their boss.
Yeah, you could be doing get me Hennemore shit on their boss. Yeah.
Oh, I have the actual... This is like what it was actually said in the email. Subject from John McFarlane. johnmcfarland.barclays@gmail.com was the address.
Oh, awesome. So awesome.
Subject, the fool doth think he is wise. Mason Man is as brusque as he is ill-informed. However, I do feel we've ceased the rally for your head today. Surely the fickle-minded nature of the angry few would help tie up any loose ends. You owe me a large scotch, John. Sent from my iPhone.
Great.
His daily response. You're a unique man, Mr. McFarland. You came to my defense today with a courage not seen in many people. How do I thank you? And one day, I'd love to see an ad-lib guitar run. You have all the fearlessness of Clapton.
Cool.
Perfect.
Oh, very cool.
It's nice to know that these guys are so normal with each other. Like, imagine people, like, it's bad enough knowing about all the Epstein shit, but knowing about all the Epstein shit and then knowing that they're sitting around on Little St. James talking to each other like this.
This is what our group DM is like.
Yeah. Again.
You have all the fearlessness of Clapton, Hussein.
Prithee, a banker doth embattled, freed from his woes, and so on and so on.
Hussein writing a song about his infant son receiving 72 virgins in paradise.
That's right. Oh my. Anyway, look, I think that's about what I've got for us today.
Go to the group chat and write you all a poem.
Yeah. Here, how about this? Now, although I think we can say action item. Instead of bothering employees with customer service complaints whose job is there to basically be abused, do something like the John McFarland thing.
Yeah, do that.
Very funny. Yeah, a lot funnier.
Do Adbusters shit. Like, go on, get yourself on TV wearing a suit and an ID badge. Say your name is like Rob Banks or something and just talk absolute nonsense until they remove
PC
you from
Rob
the air.
Banks.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Anyway. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being supporters. Milo, this is going to come out next Thursday. Are you going to be sort of chugging up and down the country?
I'm going to be up and down the country, absolutely chugging pints. Slow fucking legend. Doing a bit of Snow White around the place.
Pissing
you know what I mean,
on people
Nitty?
From the audience.
That is right. Yeah, come to my shows to get pissed on. Not by me, but by someone, probably.
I'm sure someone will.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone will piss on
you. How about this? Come to your shows and then wear a yellow bracelet on your left hand if you want to pee on someone and on your right hand if you want to get peed on. We're going to pair you all off. Well, Milo's going to. I'm going to be here. Yeah. I'm not going to be involved.
And wear a sort of salad green bracelet on either wrist if you don't want to get peed on or pee anyone.
yes. Okay. Good.
Yeah. It should be very close to yellow in color. That's crucial. Also, the toilets are poorly lit. Anyway.
We should do? Maybe we should switch them.
We'd switch them back and forth several times, I think.
Remember, wear a bracelet on your dick if, anyway, look, Tuesday 23rd, Birmingham, some tickets available. Wednesday 24th, Liverpool, tickets available. Thursday 25th, Manchester, sold out. Mm-hmm. And
so why are you saying it on the show? Are you just trying to brag? Right.
Make people jealous of Mancunians getting pissed on. Obviously.
That's right.
It's at THG is doing its annual event. They paid Milo £250,000.
Friday 26th, Nottingham, tickets available. So get those. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. I have nothing to plug. So I think
apart from that ass.
That relates to a conversation we had before we started recording.
Yeah, about butt plugs.
About the studio butt plug that we all share.
Yeah, the studio butt plug that we share.
It's my turn to use it when we stream.
I think it was a mistake to get that butt plug on expenses because now you can't take it out of the studio.
Yeah, because
it has to be
audited.
A pool butt plug. Otherwise, it's a sort of benefit in kind.
Yeah,
and you can be taxed
exactly,
on it.
Exactly.
Mm. Well, your taxes go up every time you have a more satisfying orgasm.
The thing is, like, collectively, we were just under the income thing where, like, buying that butt plug as anything other than a group expense would have pushed us all into a higher tax bracket. So
that is right. That is correct.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm ending this farce. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.